For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let me tell you a little bit about BetOnline. It remains your number one spot for NBA, MLB, MMA, boxing. It doesn't matter. Every single prop, every single play, every single point, it's all at BetOnline. When it comes to bets, when it comes to props, everything that you need is at your headquarters for sports betting. That's BetOnline. Head to the website right now. Use your mobile device. Sign up. Get a 50% welcome bonus. Don't forget to use the promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, to get yourself a 50% welcome bonus. Come on, there's no need to hesitate. Bet online, where the game starts. All right, let's get down to business. An active lifestyle can cause hemorrhoids. That sucks. Lucky for you, they're south of the border. South of the border is a holistic approach to dealing with the affected area. Go to southoftheborder.com, use code AHOLE, A-H-O-L-E, get yourself 30% off. That's pretty rad. And this is not an area of your body you want to put bad ingredients in. Make sure you turn to South of the Border. southoftheborder.com, code AHOLE.
I hope you're ready to have your mind blown with the greatest health and fitness information on the planet.
Yes, bitch!
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right. Rock and roll. It is the Mikey Likes You podcast. I am the Mikey who likes you, are you who is liked. Excellent system. First and foremost, thank you to Giorgio. Actually manning cameras as we speak, as I'm thanking him. Thick, veiny, Greek puzo. It's strange. I'm competent in Spanish, but I would not say that I'm a bilingual fellow. I was pretty fluent, But I, you know, let it deteriorate. And it actually was pretty hurtful to me to realize that when I go to Mexico and I immerse myself back in, it usually takes me a couple days to get confident again, but I get back in the swing of things where at least I can, adequately communicate with people and then certainly understand people as well. But my point is, it's amazing how many languages I know cuss words in. Like, I just rifled off puto as if everyone knows that that's penis in Greek. And cazzo in Italian. And I could go down the list. It does say something about me as a human that that's where my mind goes. That's neither here nor there. Thank you to Giorgio. Thank you to First Detachment, to Bet Online, and to South of the Border. All three amazing companies that I'm really happy. Not only am I grateful that they've made things possible for me in the Mikey Likes You podcast, but also I believe in what they do. And then thank you. Extra super special thank you to all my patrons on my Patreon. So, right into it, Giorgio and I were talking about it right before we started filming. I, this past weekend, did the Sheepdog Response Protector course, which is a very kind of high-level situational awareness and self-defense protector kind of tactical course. Hand-to-hand combat, pistol shooting, and situational awareness and tactical preparedness. And Sheepdog Response, run by Tim Kennedy. So this is like a pretty big deal when it comes to one. This isn't just like your average hobbyist, you know, learning how to competently shoot and stuff like that. And it was way hard. It was really pretty difficult. And I thought that because I'd had pretty extensive training with martial arts and combat sports, that I would find all of the hand-to-hand combat stuff pretty boring. And that was not the truth. I also thought that the shooting aspect of it would be a lot of the higher level tactical stuff would be all very new and very demanding, and that some of the rudimentary stuff would be boring. Also not true. Let me get into the first. The hand-to-hand combat thing was really weird because I have never trained with people who have zero experience. I've never done that before because I got into jiu-jitsu in such an unorthodox fashion where a guy who I really cared for that was really close to me was really good, was really high level, and encouraged me to come train with him. My entry level white belt level was almost exclusively rolling with murderers. And occasionally after that, I would go to class. And most of the people in class, they were at least blue belts or had some level of like preparation and experience. So this is the first time like I'm rolling with people who genuinely have, and they, some of them were tough athletic guys. And I kind of was blown away. And I don't know how to say it without sounding like a complete douchebag. I'm not delusional. I'm not saying I'm good or that I'm even like effective in a hand-to-hand combat situation. But I'm a purple belt that's been training a long time. And I've exclusively trained at like pretty high-level academies. And to roll with people who have no idea what they're doing, I was like, oh my, I went home and I told my wife, I was like, you know how Jocko and guys like that will say it's like jiu-jitsu's like learning magic tricks. I said, I felt like I was a wizard playing with people who had no, Dumbledore when he's dealing with the kids who just get to Hogwarts. That's how I, because some of these guys were athletic, big, healthy people. And I would just put my knee on their belly and they'd put their hands up to my body. I was like, are you crazy? I'm going to break your arm right off right now. And I never understood. I didn't. And they would work really hard to try to get away from me. And I would effortlessly like roll into a different position that was way worse for them. And I was like, this is really weird. It was my very first experience with that. So that was cool. And it gave me some kind of feeling of, wow, this is all worth it. This really is all worth it, right? But then they introduced weapons. And I realized how narrow the margin of error becomes, like razor sharp, because you could be John fucking Jones. And if a guy has a gun, so little matters, right? And four or five times, like actually probably more than about a dozen times, I would be moving into position and a guy would just stab me in the stomach. And I'm like, oh God, like my belly would be open right now, right? And I'm locking up a Kimura grip and someone just pulled my liver out, you know? So that, you know, I don't want to sound too overly dramatic, but it does make you realize like how important real situational awareness and stuff like that is. And walking down the street, looking at your iPhone is so dumb. It's so dumb. Having both ear pods in with a good amount of volume while you're in public is so fucking dumb. So little things like that really opened my eyes. Now, then the shooting aspect of it was very, very eye-opening to me because I saw, much like with martial arts, especially jiu-jitsu, which is so detail-oriented, shooting was the same way in that I'd be shooting and an instructor would come over and move my left hand thumb over a millimeter and my groupings got substantially closer. Like how small little details make a magnificent amount of difference when it comes to having a weapon. And another thing that I really, really found very eye-opening and then also very, it made me feel very good inside about people who are experts in things, especially things with where the stakes are so high, like shooting. These are men that have been in numerous deployments into war zones, you know, the normal jaunts when you're talking about war zones, the Afghanistan's, Iraq, Syria's, with thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of experience firing guns in all levels of stress. And every time they would draw their firearm, they're doing 3-point checks with another guy. Every time, even if I could see there's no magazine and the slide is back, they're pointing muzzles away, making sure to be fully safe. My point being is that even people who have maybe justifiable right to be a little bit more casual with their handling of firearms were incredibly, incredibly fastidious with everything they're doing as far as safety and stuff. And it let me know that there's a real etiquette. There's a real decorum to being a master when it comes to dealing with something that's so serious. This is not, it's like, I think we all, myself included, we watch so much action movies and whatnot that you get desensitized to just how serious a firearm is. And I'm a big, big supporter of the Second Amendment. I understand people's fear around firearms, but at the same time, I'm a big pro-gun guy, and still at the same time, I understand, like, this only further substantiated the fact that when you're talking about firearms, this is a no-fucking-around situation. This isn't at any point can you take this lightly. It's a murder machine, you know? Like, that's what it's for, designed and made specifically to kill animals and kill humans. Hopefully you don't do it when you shouldn't need to, but that's what those machines are for. And even though I'm a big pro-gun guy, I get a little upset when people are like, dude, guns don't kill people. I could kill people with a hammer. I could kill people with a car. And I go, oh, you absolutely could. But cars and hammers are designed for other things, and you just happen to use them to kill people. Guns are made to kill. That's what they're for. Make no mistake. Now, here's the rub. You might need to. I hate to say it. And those of you with kids, it becomes way more serious. Because I was talking about it in a break that we were having with the Sheepdog course. Anthony Smith, who is a dominant lightweight fighter for the UFC, and a damn good broadcaster, by the way. Anthony Smith is a badass, like a real. There's 0.0001% of the world that could fuck with that guy. He damn near beat John Jones. He's a bad mother effer. And he had someone break into his home, and he said, he's like, I had a really hard time subduing this guy. I don't know if he's on drugs. I don't know if he'd trained before, whatever. But this guy, because I didn't have a firearm, I didn't have a weapon, this guy took me, I mean, it was a real struggle. I was getting scared having to fight this dude to protect my family. If Anthony Smith says that, you got to believe all you motherfuckers listening to this or watching this, you better have a gun if bad men come to your home to do bad things. Because that's how, and if that bad man has a gun, you're fucked. You are fucked. And so that's my only reason. So I, like I said, I get it. I grew up in a very anti-gun liberal kind of world. And I actually have understanding and respect for people who are very anti-gun because they're killing machines. But as someone who is pro-gun, trust me that you, I think a lot of the people who are so aggressively anti-gun just don't realize the other side of the world, the other side of society, and drugs, as someone who grew up in a very safe pedestrian world, drugs let me get exposure to people who have guns and aren't afraid to fucking use them and don't have hope or will to live. They don't care. And so if they have guns, you better also. But if you're going to do it, you should do something like this. And also, as a man, and as a man who's macho, I am admittedly macho and kind of like, aspire to be a man's man, you know, it's very humbling, which I found to be a good thing. It was very humbling to realize how vulnerable I could be because I can get tricked by having muscles and training a lot, you know, in doing Muay Thai and jujitsu and stuff that I can be John Wick. And it's like, I am not John Wick and I am just as vulnerable as any man and that I should constantly be refining my ability to protect my family and my myself. So that was how I feel about really getting some exposure to that. And it was really a worthwhile experience. And I encourage anyone to take up something like that to make themselves genuinely feel more confident as opposed to tricking yourself into feeling more confident. You know, you do a couple cycles and you get jacked or you get your blue belt or something and you feel like, I'm good. It's like, no, the world's a really, really, really violent place. And maybe you're not a violent person, and that's great. But you should at least be capable of engaging when something like that would happen, right? Here's another thing I came to realize. You watch movies like, John Wick is a perfect example. Or you watch The Enforcer, right? I like those movies, The Enforcer, with Denzel, because I like Denzel so much. And after a while, you go like, this is sweet, but come on. He just took out an entire room of dudes who had guns. And I was with you, right? I'm with you. That seems crazy. But if if the collection of dudes is just like cartel guys or like Russian mobs, like coked out Russian mobsters, and the dude who takes them all out is a highly like special ops, he could take out a whole room. Like these, Yako, the instructor, one of the instructors, Tim Kennedy. If Tim Kennedy had the right firearm and he knew what he was carrying and all other men in the room were just gangsters, they weren't trained, it would be like Giorgio and I fighting four-year-olds. He would take out, just keep them coming. Keep them coming. If you have, like, these guys, I was blown away. Like, their level of understanding of cover, of distancing, of how to use their firearm. They would shoot, we would shoot from different prone angles, different kneeling angles, behind different levels of cover, and then we'd have to come out from cover and hit different targets. And so, the regular folks, there was a couple guys there that were, like, SWAT or just got out of the military, and they were ping, 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 they were pinging some shit. But, you know, the normal guys like me, you know, it would be, you know, every third shot, bing, you know, I'd hit one and then there'd be a couple that would miss. Some of these dudes would do demonstrations and it looked like what's that video game that everybody loves? The first person shooter, the military game, Call of Duty. It looked like Call of Duty, but they were regular guys. They were, you know, they would kick out like shrimp, like just from behind cover and dong, 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 dong. Tactical reload, ching, like the magazine fall, pop it back in, gung, 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 gung. And I was like, whoa, I thought that was fake. I didn't think that really happened in real life. I thought that was John Wick shit. There's dudes that are doing that. So that made me feel good, because I was like, a couple of these dudes, like I said, were one guy was SWAT in Southern California, and I was talking to him a lot about just life and stuff. And then the other guys were some of the instructors, and I was like, I'm so happy those guys do that for a living, because if shit really pops off, like, we're good. Like, we're, you know what I'm saying? Granted, there's the wild, extreme, unique circumstances of like a 9/11 or something like that. But if like shit pops off, our law enforcement and military in the U.S. is so wildly badass, like so crazy fucking ready for dirt. That I was like, okay, we good. All right, so on to some more. Do you have any other questions, by the way? Because I'm sure you're interested, Giorgio, in some of this stuff.
I don't have a mic today, so
I can reiterate something that you threw out there. If you're genuinely interested in anything.
Sheepdog response. No, yeah. I just want to take them, and I think your testament to how easily you could defeat people in the hand, like in the grappling aspect, just should push people to train more.
Yeah. I mean, because look, here's another thing I want to say, and I this comes from this. I mean this with genuine, sincere love and compassion and caring. This is not some like radio TV guy talking shit. This comes from a place of genuine love. If you're in law enforcement and you don't train in hand-to-hand, if you don't do any judo, jiu-jitsu, or wrestling, you're fucking crazy. You are fucking crazy. If my line of work, if my clientele was criminals and I didn't know to keep like the way to keep distance or to close distance when I needed to, or to lock up positions where, you know, I could maybe use leverage instead of strength. Like you're crazy. And I mean that with, like I said, I'm not talking shit like all these cops out there. No, I mean it like you should do that, because I love these body cam videos. I love it. I find it so entertaining. Not because I hate like the world star type. I don't want to see people's heads get stomped out. I hate that stuff. But what I do like is some of these delusional people who are like, because of generational PTSD, I don't feel like this is appropriate right now. And it's like, you're driving drunk in the wrong lane. So I don't give a fuck about it. I love that. I love watching people try to get out of it. And it's like, you're going the wrong way on the freeway and you just blew a 2.8. So you're going to tell me about how your gender is the problem here? Like, I love it. I love that. But in some of those videos I see, like even getting guys cuffed, they'll get into a, you know, guy will be pulling his, and someone like a cop will push away to kind of give him some, and I'm like, whoa, dude, you could, if you just put your right shoulder into his shoulder right now and underhooked his arm, like you're good. And then they get into a fight, and that makes me really feel very concerned in stuff. And so I know there's a video, all the big grappling dudes just put it out, where this cop, you could tell the guy makes it clear, the suspect makes it clear, it's like, it's, we're going to go to blows right now. And the cop fakes a jab high. He feints a jab and then ducks in for a double under, pulls the guy down and gets top control. And all the big jiu-jitsu guy, I saw my friend Mike Safi, who's a black belt under Henner and Horian, Henner and Hidan. And then I saw Brian Ortega. I saw Rafael Lovato Jr. They all put this video up because it's like, clearly this cop is a badass. And he ended that situation. And this dude was big. The guy, the suspect, was like a real dude to fuck with. And it just goes to show, like, if that level of preparation is there, it can really solve a lot of problems that make.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP lawn and garden and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Come up. So I want to talk about like some of the misconceptions and then some of the things that I've been talking about in past episodes that I want to kind of get into a little bit more of the details about them, because I do think like I may be driving people more crazy, and that's absolutely not what I want to do. So one of the big things that I have gotten a lot of confusion from, at least in people DMing me or patrons kind of sending me questions and concerns about, is how I'm talking about, not only is diet super important, it's probably more important. It's not probably, it is more important when it comes to how you look, not performance, but you want to get a better body. Diet has to be priority, right? And then I also said a lot of the means that we go about with training end up actually harming you more than they do helping you. So I label things like, a lot of people, they start running, right? They want to lose weight, so they start running. A lot of people, they start CrossFitting, right? And a lot of people are doing these Spartan runs, or, you know, these things that you sweat a lot. So you're thinking to yourself, oh, I'm doing a good job. And the reality is it's probably not an optimal way to go about it, okay? That being said, if you love running, long distance running is your jam. If you love CrossFit, that's your thing, right? You know, Pilates, whatever it is. I'm not saying don't do that. I want to make that very clear. All things, there is no one way to skin a cat. There is optimal ways. And just because my view of the absolute perfect optimal way doesn't include certain things, it doesn't mean it can't. There's no absolutes. And anyone in the fitness industry who tells you always and never is a charlatan. Okay? There's ways to work around it. You just have to think. And then certain things become variables. That's all there is to it. If you want to run the LA Marathon or the Boston Marathon and you want to get abs, you're going to have to do other things that I don't do. You're going to have to do certain extra, take extra steps, extra precautions. That doesn't mean you can't do it. And even though marathon running will maybe counteract certain things that would be positive stimulus for you to achieve your goal, in the end, it might be better for you because long distance running brings you so much joy. I'll be very honest. High level grappling actually makes it harder for me to get super shredded than it would if I didn't do that. During the lockdown, it was easier for me to get single-digit body fat and stay there. I wasn't training any combat sports. Why? Because I could really just focus on my diet and training to absolutely just extrude every single bit of muscle and lower body fat. And that's all I worried about. So I didn't have to worry about how much glycogen was in my muscles for this and that, because all I was worrying about was the training to get the goal. When I have to go, and if I'm going to do rounds 3, 4, 5 times a week at a really high pace, my diet has to look different. And I can't worry exclusively about fat loss. I have to worry about a certain level of performance. If I don't, I will bonk so bad that then I can't go in and lift weights. I can't go in and train. I'm starving, right? If I were to try to hold a certain caloric level that I would for losing body fat. And then also I'm doing, you know, 15 rounds a week of like at like life or death pace. That's not sustainable. And then in order to make up for it, I'm going to get to Saturday and I'm going to crush 15,000 calories because I'm starving and I'm edgy and I feel lightheaded. So my point being is like, I train a lot in jiu-jitsu. I train as much as I can. That may be holding me back from achieving my peak physique, but in the end, it's worth it to me because my quality of life is higher. I just have to pick and choose how I go about making sure I can cover all my bases. And my diet looks a little different. So it does. It's so be it, right? And your diet would look a little different if you wanted to every day do your calisthenics or do your CrossFit or whatever it was that really brought you joy. But don't do these things if they're not bringing you immense levels of joy. If it's just something that you think is making it better, but you hate it, that's what I'm trying to tell you is like, just cut that shit out. And a lot of these things, here's another big thing that I wanted to really hammer out. A lot of times people will hear myself or another fitness voice, they will say, fill in the blank form of exercise is not really very optimal for having a great physique. And you in your mind will combat that with, but my CrossFit coach, my yoga teacher is ripped, has a great body. And I go, okay, that's not a valuable argument, because there are guys in the UFC who don't diet at all and don't lift weights, and they have amazing physiques because they came out of the womb with an amazing physique and they exercise for a living. You know, they train. Luke Rockhold has never devoted, trust me, he's not devoted. By the way, Luke Rockhold, super bad. Like, say what you want about the guy. He's a legit high level fighter. And I'm not talking, and beautiful. His physique is beautiful. He's beautiful. He's a beautiful man. But Luke Rockhold came from great genetics and then devoted his life to MMA. He doesn't put that much effort into having an amazing physique. And a lot of female yoga teachers, they're very active people who have always been kind of thin and had great bodies. And they got into yoga. You know what I'm saying? So don't get confused. This is a 1,000,000% true story. When my daughter was first born, I was working nonstop hours, and my wife was like 2 or 3 months after my daughter went back to filming on Undateable. So we just could, even though we were very invested into really parenting our daughters, we couldn't do it on our own. Because I couldn't take her to the radio station all the time, and she couldn't take her to set all the time. So we hired a nanny, and this was a young lady from Brazil, and she was living in. I know. Believe me, I did hedge my bets on that one. She was really sweet, and she was from Brazil, and she was really into fitness, and she was doing F45 all the time, and she was asking me why she wasn't like getting leaner, and I said, well, that's. If you enjoy it, it's fine. It's fun. But that's not, if you really want to make the change, we got to talk about your training and you got to talk about your diet. Right. And she said, but all my teachers at F45, they're ripped and they look great. I go, okay, I believe you. And I'm having this conversation with her about how, well, you don't know what they're doing outside of the F45. And do they do it with you or do they just coach you? And she's like, well, they're just, I was like, okay, so here's the deal. There's probably a lot going on that we don't know about. Like a week later, I'm at Gold's Gym in Venice Beach. And here comes three people, one female, two males, F45, shirts on, and they're in there pumping iron. And I'm like, oh. So I go back. I was like, Giselle, got something to tell you. I fill her in all the things. So my point being is like, my coach or these guys or gals I do fill in the blank exercise with have great physique. So why are you telling me that this isn't the way to great physique? I go, because these extremes can't dictate the norm. All the at the CrossFit games, all those people have amazing physiques. Okay, that's not an argument to say that CrossFit gives you an amazing physique. Does that make sense? I hope it does. Okay. So that's one of the things I wanted to kind of really make a little bit more clear. Because I stand behind everything that I say on this show, but I do understand that some people who don't live a life that's devoted to this geeky shit can misunderstand certain points. The other one that I wanted to go over was when I talk about overtraining, when it doing too much, doing excess, a lot of people then take that information and then they just stop training very hard or very frequently. And that's kind of a distortion of the argument I'm making as well. What I will say is that if you're provided with the alternative of training too much versus training too little, training slightly too little versus training slightly too much, training slightly too little is way better. It is. In the long run, it'll always be better. Why? Fatigue management. If you're training, it might be just slightly too infrequent. If the training intensity and the quality is there, that's way better than training too much, because training too much comes with serious consequences down chain that training too little doesn't have. And that's why another reason why diet is paramount, because if your diet's there, if you're really, really in control of what you're eating, high protein diet with a good set caloric set point, and you're actually monitoring how much of all the things that go into your body there is, a slightly less than optimal level of training stimulus will be great. If your training, if your diet's on point and a slightly over the top level of training comes, even just a slight one, you'll make the gains, but it will in turn down chain have its negative effects, and they will rear their ugly head. They will. And the older you get, the uglier that head is when it rears itself. Because the older you get, fatigue management becomes so much more important. Because I'm 40, I'll be 45 in 2 weeks. And I'm in pretty good shape. For any age, I think, you know, as far as if you were to really measure it objectively, strength, power, anaerobic capacity, aerobic base, I'm in good shape. And I can still train and train hard. The difference is I can't recover like I used to. When I train hard, I have to pick and choose how and when I train hard, because it does, I hurt, I ache. And I'm not talking about injuries. I'm talking about just, I used to be able to go to jujitsu for 2 hours and bah, bah, bah. And I was tired, of course. But a good shower and a meal, I'm back at it. I could go lift after that if I wanted to. I mean, it may not be a good day, but I could, right? Now, training hard, like, I got to go home. And I have to start rethinking, like, farm chores. I'm like, whew. Oh God, I feel very deflated. So it's not even a matter of like my muscular ability. Like I said, I'm in good shape. It's the central nervous fatigue for me is quite extensive because I'm 45. I'm not 25. So I don't want to give people the false impression that as you get older, you got to give up on that. That actually really bugs me. I would never go to a high school reunion, but if I were to, just every time I run into some of the people I grew up with, and they're like, yeah, well, at my age, I can't I can't do it anymore. It's like, this is life, right? I'm 44 years old. And I'm like, no, dude, like you can't, you have trouble going up the stairs and stuff. I was like, dude, you're not 85. So I don't want to give you this idea that, and there's plenty of people online that are even better examples than me that are in their 50s, 60s, 70s that are shredded and look great and live these vibrant lives. And that has to do with training and lifestyle and diet. What I am saying is that you need to take into consideration fatigue management when it comes to constructing your training routine, and that the older you get, that becomes much and much, much, much more important. So I don't want to mislead people by saying, hey, train less, and then you think, well, I'm just going to get lazier. No, it's you have to have the higher level of commitment. And if you're already in good shape and you're young, you might have to train a lot. You might have to train a lot to get where you want to go. But if you're just getting started and you're looking in the mirror and you don't like what you see, do not assume you got to train like The Rock getting ready for a movie. Because not only will that not help you achieve your goals quicker, it's actually going to make your goals farther away. It really will. Because you should be focusing on, like, what am I eating? And training 6 days a week, sometimes twice a day, is going to make it near impossible to control your eating. Semaglutide, right? Ozempic. It is everything right now. It is one of the most revolutionary pharmaceutical agents this world has ever seen. In the way that it has become life-changing for millions and absolutely industry-changing when it comes to weight loss, fat loss, fitness, things like that. I reserve judgment on the drug itself. I definitely think any drug should always be last-ditch effort. There always is better means than pharmaceuticals with any facet of life. I'm a man who takes antidepressants. I would not recommend them to anyone except for people who have given it really, really long periods of time and effort into trying other means, which I did. Got into recovery and kept myself sober for a long period of time. Meditation, lots of psychiatric help, lots of psychological help, you know, with talk therapy, you know, kind of traditional clinical psychology, an actual psychiatrist who I resisted receiving pharmaceuticals from for 15 years of trying different things, getting married, getting divorced, staying sober, meditating, exercise and diet, all these things. And after a long period of seeing all those things add up and still not feeling like I could get myself over the hump, I felt like it was appropriate to turn to pharmaceuticals. And I do think it was the right decision for me. If you are looking to lose weight, regardless of your size, I do think you should give a really concerted effort to diet and exercise and lifestyle changes. And if that's not going to cut it, which because there are serious underlying issues for a lot of people when it comes to weight loss that far exceed your ability to exercise or your ability to diet, there are psychiatric issues that come into play. And for some people, there's just generational problems. I get it. And if Ozempic is going to help you get over the hump, then dude, rock and roll. But my point in bringing up Ozempic is that its main contributing factor to success is a strong feeling of satiety. It crushes hunger. You feel full. Okay? If you are going to engage in activity that makes you feel less full, is going to increase hunger signals, you're going to fail. That's all. And that's one of those things I say always and never is a bad thing. I don't want to say always, but the number one reason why people fail at prolonged fat loss is that lifestyle, whether it be their training, whether it be amounts of professional or personal stress, whatever it is, lack of sleep, whatever it is, it, somehow it leads to decreased feelings of satiety, increased level of hunger. Modern lifestyle is just kind of a recipe for feeling hungry, even when you may not necessarily be. You get disproportionately hungry because our cortisol is through the roof, because our dispensable time and income is lower than ever. And our stress levels, I think, from staring at screens and from the pressures of raising a child in today's world, the pressures of dating in today's world and romantic relationships, there it's never been more exaggerated and difficult to do and manage those things. And that's a reality. And you try to make up for all those problems that modern life presents by training in these really kind of over-the-top, exaggerated, disproportionate ways, unorthodox ways. And now you're starving, even when you may not even necessarily be hungry, but you're starving. And I don't know about you, but I don't often get cravings for lean sirloin and broccoli. I get cravings for bread. I get cravings for cookies. I get cravings for sweets. I get cravings for fried chicken. I get cravings for, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what your palate turns to when it's an internal desire for hunger as opposed to just real hunger. When I'm really hungry, I just want food. And make that decision to eat a cleaner meal becomes very easy because I'm like, yeah, that I'm hungry. I'm genuinely hungry. But when I wake up in the middle of the night and I just raid the pantry, I'm not going to make myself some salmon. I'm going to grab pretzels and what, you know what I'm saying? They say, cause I'm not really hungry. I'm having some type of internal disruption that's leading me to go do that. And so that's my overall desire with giving you some of these tips of really making sure that your diet's on point first and then worry about training. And when you're worrying about training, kind of minimum effective dosage is a much better choice because I'm only looking for ways to make you feel fuller with less caloric input. That's how you find. It's not about like, I followed this program. I'm not talking shit. I'm not going to name names. But I started doing fill in the blank or this system or that. And I got my spreadsheet and I can like have a quarter cup of soy milk and then I have my two-thirds cup of oatmeal and then I have my hummus 2 hours later. You're starting to like really manage that. In reality, it's like find the way that you can get fuller with less calories, and that is going to be higher protein, and that is going to be foods that are more nourishing, that are going to be more chock full of micronutrients and at a lower caloric set point. Okay. I'll go back to my analogy of the potato versus the French fry. If you take the 7 ounces of potato and you put it in the microwave or you boil it or you bake it and just put some sea salt on it, at like 110 calories, you're like, I'm tapping out. I'm stuffed. Like 3 French fries is 110 calories, right? It's a much higher caloric set point to much lower nutrient density. Apples, I'm going to hand you 2 apples. It's like 140 calories, 2 big giant apples, right? And I go, eat them. Let's go. All right. You may finish them, big guy, let's say. And you're like, ah. I go, okay, for 10 minutes, just hang out and let's see how we go. Now, I'm going to grill 2 apples, put cinnamon and brown sugar on them. Yeah. You'll achieve the same level of calories as those 2 full apples with like 2 or 3 pieces of that. And believe me, you'll be asking for more when you finish the entire plate of it. Caloric density versus nutrient density. That's what the stuff you got to manage.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
One of the main reasons why ketogenic diets in general work for people so well is because you can only eat so much steak and butter. The carnivore diet, you know, not the kind of animal-based one we're seeing where you get, you know, raw milk and honey and fruit, a lot of fruits. I'm talking about like Sean Baker style, eat steak, drink water, right? People lose a lot of weight on that and it seems magical to them and they feel better. And I get that. But a lot of that is based around the fact that, dude, that's a lot of nutrient density. You know, steak has so much. It's high protein, high healthy fat and iron, all these things, like you're eating it and it becomes so unbelievably satiating so quickly. It's very easy. People find it very easy. You take the same person and you say, here's a very balanced macronutrient breakdown. Let's go. One of the most common ones, the one I recommend most is 40-30-30. 40% protein, 30% carbohydrates, 30% healthy fats, right? Let's give you balance. Now I'm going to tell you, you only eat two meals a day. That's it. That's all you got. Okay. It takes a real kind of adjustment period. If you're used to eating frequently throughout the day, it takes a real adjustment period because you're like, fuck, I'm hungry, man. I got to wait all the way till 8 o'clock at night to eat my dinner. I just ate my breakfast at 10 a.m. Oh gosh, geez. Whoa. If you do like just two meals a day, but all you can eat is red meat, people find it very easy because you're just like, I'm stuffed. My satiation is so high. Okay, so that really is one of, if I don't want to say the main, it's the overall reason why sustainable dieting works is levels of hunger and controlling levels of hunger. Higher protein not only is the most effective way to regulate satiety, but it also provides other metabolic benefits. There's a higher thermic effect of food. Eating protein helps you burn more calories. You burn more calories digesting protein than you do other macronutrients, the carbohydrates or the fat. Fat is also very filling, but it doesn't have the same thermic effect of food. And also, fat is much more calorically dense. It's twice as dense calorically as carbohydrates and protein. A carbohydrate, 1 gram of carbohydrates has 4 calories in it. 1 gram of protein has 4 calories in it. 1 gram of fat has 9 calories. So it's a little bit over double. So if you can opt for keeping your fat up, but not high, you know, it does help. And also healthy fats are very healthy for you hormonally and also skin, nail, hair, bones, sexual function. These are all things that are clearly kind of directly regulated by your intake of healthy fats and also heart health and things like that. But protein above and beyond with less caloric density than fat keeps you very full. And it takes more kind of metabolic activity just to digest protein. So you're getting this metabolic boost. You're also getting higher levels of protein synthesis. And new studies have shown, they used to think as people aged, they would titrate their protein down. It's turning out, as you age, it becomes more and more important. And they're starting to find incredible results from senior citizens upping their protein to pretty high levels because they're eating less and also they're getting a lot more benefit. It's the most anabolic kind of internally when it comes to cellular regeneration. Obviously, with cellular muscle, it's very important. Keeping yourself anabolic, keeping protein synthesis high, and also preventing from protein degradation, which is the one thing we really, really, really want to look out for when we're bringing our calories down, is muscle loss, because that can be a real pisser. You start dieting, you may even do successfully your dieting, and you go this long period of time, you lose 40 pounds, and now your body fat's higher. You're like, oh, wait, what the? And that happens. That's not an uncommon thing to happen where you're like, I'm going to go on this 1,100 calorie diet. I'm going to start running like crazy. Oh my God, I lost 60 pounds. I got my body fat measured. I'm 4% higher. How the fuck is that? So yeah, so muscle loss is actually something that's just as important, I think, as fat loss when you're looking at overall weight loss and your goal to do so. So up your protein, train wisely. But also, if there are things that don't necessarily fit into my narrow window of what is optimal training, but it does bring you immense joy, you should definitely do those things. But understand there has to be other kind of variables added into how you're going to achieve your goal in the long run. And that, my friends, was a stellar episode of Mikey Likes You, in my opinion. Again, thank you to all my patrons, all my sponsors, and to Giorgio. If you're interested in becoming a patron, finding more information like this in a little bit more detailed fashion. Also, maybe you want to sign up for that top tier and you can get a chance to have me just directly work for you. I become your little bitch boy when it comes to training, nutrition, and lifestyle stuff. That is available for you. There is a link in the profile. And remember, in this crazy mixed up world that makes you think that nobody cares, I do. Be good.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.